up, was trending skyward, isn't going all the way. Just floating like a blanket underneath that we all.
Welcome back to the Green Front, and we have some positive news. I always like to report that, and to help us figure it all out, I'm going to welcome to the program Liz Gorman. She's Senior Vice President with Cone Communications, and they look at business practices, especially Liz's emphasis is on sustainability, and Cone Communications has really been in the forefront on looking at green marketing and consumer habits. I've heard them make presentations at the fabulous annual
Police
Sustainable
Department.
Brand.
Up their immigration checks
conference, and Liz, are you with us?
Federal
yes, I am. Thank you for having me.
Now.
Are we hearing something in the background, or is that just my end?
That's not on my end.
To calls by local officials,
okay,
unless the person in question is a felon or meets their certain criteria.
I don't even know what it is. And it's not you.
Do you think the state lost some power today because of
so, Liz, if you could speak loudly and tell us what you have found in terms of consumer thinking, that more people are factoring our environment into their purchasing decisions.
What we have seen, and we've been actually tapping into consumer attitudes for about the last 5 years regarding environmental purchasing, and we've seen, you know, a majority of consumers say that, yes, when they make purchases, they're considering the environment. You know, there's a lot of motivations for that. I'd say probably the most important thing for them is that they see it as that environmental, what I'll call sort of greener products are healthier, you know, healthier for them, healthier for their families, healthier for the community. So I think that that's a big motivator. They also see it, you know, depending on what the product is, that it could possibly save them money. For instance, I think that people understand that when you buy certain kinds of light bulbs, that they have a longer life and they use less energy. So I think those are motivators as well. I also think that, this wasn't always the case. I think, you know, if you go back 10, 15 years, mm-hmm. We saw kind of eco products as being sort of funky, not really having the same kind of quality as maybe, you know, traditional products. But I think that's changed, and I think people now equate eco products with even higher quality. So I think those are big motivators. And then, of course, there's also those consumers who are just concerned about the environment in general and preserving resources and whatnot. So that also becomes a driver in their purchases.
I know a couple years back, many of the laundry detergent manufacturers who were trying to be greener and sell their product in concentrated form were a little frustrated because, you know, the price being higher because you're getting more but less packaging. We're not really quite understanding that. Do you know if that's a trend that are consumers getting a little bit more educated on that particular product line?
Well, I would say yes. I think that, first of all, you know, one thing that has happened is even a migration to more high-efficiency washing machines, for instance. And if you use those kind of washers, then you naturally use a more concentrated formula. But the drivers for going to a more concentrated formula, I think, were actually cost savings on the part of the laundry makers, the laundry detergent makers, in that they could shrink their packaging. So they were, you know, conserving resources, but it also made it more efficient for them to ship and to have more product on the shelf. And a lot of this, surprisingly, was, I think, driven even by Walmart, that started having higher standards in terms of packaging. And, you know, they were trying to capture more efficiencies, not only in the retail environment, but in terms of being able to drive costs down with their suppliers. So I think that that was part of the motivation, and then they had to sell it to consumers. So it's not that the laundry detergent, the product inside the packaging, is necessarily more environmentally friendly. It's that the packaging is less. So there's a benefit in that respect.
And were you able to track the full use of these products? In other words, are they being disposed in an environmentally friendly way as they're intended to be truly green?
We did tap into that, actually. We asked consumers, first of all, when they buy a product. Now, let's just step back a little bit and talk about sort of a product. And every product has environmental impacts. And there's a life cycle to the product. So impacts occur both, on sort of the manufacturing side, getting the raw materials, depending on what materials you're using, manufacturing that product, transporting it, getting it packaged, getting it on the store shelves. Well, the other parts of the impacts come with consumer use. So when the consumer buys a product that is being sort of marketed with eco attributes, sometimes those eco attributes have everything to do with the use phase and the disposal phase, the end of life phase.
Mm-hmm.
So that requires that the consumer, first of all, sort of understand that they have a responsibility. And so we wanted to sort of test that in our most recent survey. And 90% of respondents said, yes, we understand. We believe we have a responsibility when we buy a product like this to actually use it and dispose of it in the way that it was intended, to achieve sort of those environmental benefits. But in reality, only about a third reported that in the last 6 months that they actually did use or dispose of the product in the right way. So there's a little bit of a disconnect in that consumers are willing to say, hey, I've got this responsibility, but they're not necessarily following through.
And is part of the problem lack of information or education?
Yeah.
Point of sale and maybe on the product, but perhaps overall, if we had more media coverage, if we want to segue into that aspect, my favorite topic, I guess I'm a little obsessed with it, but I think if people really did understand better the role that they can play and why it matters, so as I say, how to green your routine and why it matters, I started Trash Talk features 15 years ago talking about the need to reduce, reuse, recycle, and that was pretty exotic at that time on a mainstream radio station to be talking about trash, how radical. It's rare that we see, dedicated programming talking about everything from garbage to global warming, in mainstream outlets. And perhaps that overall broad education is just as important as knowing how to dispose of any particular, green marketed product.
Right. Well, I think that, first of all, when consumers do sort of, I think they understand that there is a waste issue here in this country and around the world. So I think in some ways that they get that piece, and if they have the right resources at hand and it's convenient, I think they are inclined to dispose of it in the right way, which would be to either recycle it or if it's meant to be, composted to follow through in that respect. But I think when it comes to, backing up, looking at the laundry detergent, and there are certain laundry detergents that are meant to be used in cold water. And that is another sort of way that somebody could be, take the environment into consideration because, cold water, you don't have to use energy to heat that water, so you're conserving some kind of resource. But I think the confusion comes in when you have that cold water detergent and then you start thinking, can I wash everything in this? What about all my whites? I grew up thinking that I had to wash whites in hot water. So I think that's where the brand, the manufacturer, can be more explicit in helping to sort of educate the consumer about all the different possibilities for using that particular product.
And I also see in your research that you found something that I find interesting, in that I think it was 69% said it's okay if a company is not environmentally perfect as long as it's honest, because when I was trying to get sponsors 12, 15, 10 years ago, a lot of the green companies that would come to the environmental conferences that I attended and events, I would say they didn't want to bring attention to themselves as being eco advocates, because they were afraid that if they dug, if it was scrutinized, perhaps they would not be perfect. And I always said, it's not about being perfect. It's about doing the right thing and saying that this is something you value as a company and that you're making, you know, taking steps and making strides on the sustainability front. And that's a message that that company might want to convey to its consumers to show that it's a value.
No, I think that that's exactly it. And I think that most people, and, you know, most people, or everybody is a consumer. So I think that they understand that, first of all, I know this term gets overused a lot, but it is a journey. It's a journey for everybody, and it's a journey for the companies that are making these products. And it's a journey for consumers in terms of sort of learning about the issues and understanding how they can make an impact. So, you can't go from 0 to 100 overnight, and I think that consumers are certainly understanding of that.
And I don't think this was your research, but this story that I found you through says that earlier this year, a survey released by Market Dynamics claimed that consumers have moved past ingredient lists and are now increasing their spending on organic foods, placing emphasis on, you know, buying local, non-GMO, fair trade. Are you finding that as well? And do you know if that growth is continuing to be substantial, especially with organic food?
Well, I think it is. And again, I think it goes back to one of the main sort of drivers for purchasing kind of more greener products or whatever. And that's that they believe that they're healthier. So I think organic, people are concerned about, you know, first of all, I mean, all the incidents of cancer. I mean, it's like it's out there. It just seems like you turn around tomorrow and or today and somebody else is being diagnosed. And I think that consumers are starting to get concerned about what they're ingesting and all the different chemicals in the foods that they're eating. So I think that that's driving a lot of their move towards organic products, not only just what they consume, but also what they use. I mean, for instance, I think in personal care products as well as household products, such as, you know, cleaning products, I think people have a higher level of awareness, but it's really driven by, I think, their own personal health and safety.
And speaking of personal health and safety, many of us have been tested for mercury levels, and those of us who do not eat much meat tend to eat a lot of fish. And my mercury level, as was my husband's and many of my friends, was off the chart and currently being treated for Merck detox. Do you think more consumers are making seafood purchasing choices with both mercury in mind and also, you know, those species that are being overfished? And there are, you know, great resources out there now. The Monterey Bay Aquarium has a great pocket size or wallet size little pamphlet that tells you at any given time, they update it regularly, you know, which of the species should be avoided because they're being overfished, maybe going extinct. That's a new consciousness that, you know, I certainly see where I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, but wondering if that's spreading across the country, if you have any idea.
Well, I really don't, to be honest, on that particular issue. I mean, I live in Seattle, so I can say that, of course, it's top of mind here.
Another green pocket, right.
Yeah, I think it all depends on where you're living and you know, if you're, how much, you know, seafood you're actually consuming. So I don't know the answer to that, really.
I know years ago there was quite a bit of interest on the part of, you know, companies to show their green side. There was a little bit of a backlash with, you know, allegations of greenwashing, and it seemed that companies kind of stepped back and said, we're not going to really promote our, you know, green-friendly side. And where do things stand now in 2013, just overall? And do you think that this research that you've just done, showing 71% of consumers factor the environment in to their buying decisions, will help? It seems to me that we should be a little further along in this process, where both, you know, in terms of not only a company taking on sustainability in a big way and across the life cycle of their products, but promoting it, getting that message across.
Right. Well, first of all, I think that there has been some change over the last couple of years, especially as the FTC has provided more clarity on what, you know, is appropriate messaging and marketing around green claims. They just finalized and released their their latest version of the Green Guides. And if you go through that carefully, you'll see, I mean, you know, they're very clear about what is appropriate marketing and what is crossing the line. So I think that companies are, you know, they're just more cautious because they don't want to be called out, especially by, you know, a regulatory agency or, you know, one of their competitors, which could, you know, raise the issue and spur an investigation. So I do think that there has been a little bit of a chilling effect in terms of how companies are talking about their products. And I think that's a good thing because it's all it's done is make them more honest and not overclaim. I mean, that was what was happening, is that they were making claims that were broader than what the attribute, you know, that if they were talking about an attribute, it could be that they were highlighting one kind of eco-friendly attribute, whereas maybe the rest of the product was anything but. So, you know, in that respect, I think that's a benefit to consumers.
I remember there was a bit of a backlash with Clorox, you know, marketing their Green Works brand, which was a great product. I used it and liked it a lot, but many people said, well, if they're emphasizing how safe the Green line of products is, what does it say about the bleach and other things that are not so environmentally friendly?
Right, right. And I think Clorox would probably argue that, you know, that the bleach is not the issue. I mean, you know, I just from their point of view, I mean, they might have a lot of science behind those particular products, and maybe some of those criticisms have been too harsh. But I think the question with Clorox was really also the relationship with the Sierra Club, and that I think that people found that to be maybe. I think that they were more critical of the Sierra Club for jumping in bed with Clorox than the other way around.
Clorox was sponsoring the Sierra Club and gave them a significant amount of money to promote the products.
Right, and in exchange, you know, Clorox was able to use the Sierra Club as part of their marketing around those products. So it was, in essence, an endorsement that, you know, provides sort of a level of assurance to the consumer.
I wanted to ask you about something that Cone Communication calls their Green Gap trend tracker. What do you mean by Green Gap? Sounds interesting.
Well, I think it was looking at just like what I was talking about earlier, that the gap being, in this case, that while consumers feel that they have a responsibility to use and dispose of the products in the way that they're intended when they're buying, of course, green products. The gap is that they're really not following through in large numbers. So that's how we, you know, titled it the Green Gap, because we're always finding these gaps. It's either that consumers say, I understand all the claims, and then at the same time, they're like, I'm totally confused, you know. So every year we find some kind of intriguing gap, and that's how we sort of branded it as that research.
And last question, Liz, what do you think about Whole Foods' recent announcement that they're going to be, you know, in 5 years' time, if not less, not stocking any products with GMO and labeling everything that does have GMO in the meantime?
Well, I think that's a great thing. I mean, I think that consumers, that is an issue that I think consumers have, you know, taken note of, especially those going, you know, again, I think it goes back to, first and foremost, their personal health, and then, you know, I think more broadly they think about just the ripple effect on, you know, from an environmental perspective. So I think that, you know, that's great. I think when Whole Foods does something like that, it tends to have you know, kind of a cascade effect on other companies. So I mean, you know, I think, you know, over time, we'll see more and more brands doing something very similar.
Okay, I think we're out of time. Liz Gorman, Senior Vice President of CSR, Sustainable Business Practices at Cone Communications, thank you so much for your research and for joining us on the Green Front today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. All right,
for this edition of the program, for more of the shows that we've done in the past, go to PRN or also my website, thegreenfront.com. See you next week. In the meantime, have a great green one.
a rescue plane trying to rescue the people who were shot down.
What a mess
in the plane. So yeah, they're angry about it, and they're